Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, you guys, we're back. As I said at the start of part one, this episode is going to focus on the finale of The Real Housewives of New York. It is going to include topics that might be triggering, including but not limited to rape and sexual assault, trauma, and mental health. The National Mental Health Lifeline in the United States is 988. At the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, we understand that life's challenges can sometimes be difficult. Whether you're facing mental health struggles, emotional distress, alcohol or drug use concerns, or just need someone to talk to, counselors are here for you. You are not alone. I'm also including resources for Rain in the show notes for this episode. Rain is committed to supporting survivors of sexual violence, cultivating communities of anti-sexual violence activism, and promoting policies that deliver justice and hold perpetrators accountable. Their info, again, is in the show notes for this ep. Let's hop to it. So I did just a little bit of a transcription situation. I watched the episode and then it settled into my bones. I actually heard that from some people where it's like the next day I was up until 1 a.m. talking about it with friends who were all like, what the absolute fuck? I then have talked about it, in DMs with a bunch of AGs, and really kind of felt a little bit of a spiritual stench from it. And then found myself today, Thursday, just really feeling like, all right, let's, I feel, you know, really comfortable, apparently crying a little bit, but also talking about this. So here's the actual episode. This is like my kind of summary of events, and I'm sure I'm going to miss crucial fucking things. So I apologize. So I had watched the episode once when it aired live, and again today when I was doing, I did a stop start when the episode itself aired live because I was just so angry and upset, bewildered, and frustrated. And then today the stop start was maybe like a couple points because I was like, ooh, I need to sit on that for a second. But it was also because I was quite literally trying to get as close to a direct quote as I possibly could throughout the episode. So apologies for shit I will miss. Part duh. Again, as I said on part this is going to be a little bit of a TikTok going through from my memory and transcription what actually happened on the finale, because I don't think that summarizing the show and kind of speaking in overall TLDR, like too long, don't read, is helpful, especially when so much of the episode focused on specific use of language and questioning whether a person was using that language with nefarious intent. So let's hop to it. I knew when watching the finale originally, the night it aired, I knew that something was going to happen about Brynn and it wasn't going to be great, because the episode started with what I felt like was a little bit of a, like, this season on Housewives that was truly just a reel of Brynn embellishing, lying, manipulating the cast, where I'm just saying out loud, oh, the theme of this is going to be Brynn done fucked up. Like, that to me was a little bit of a key as to what cast members might be saying about her, or like some part of the reunion, some part of the finale itself. So the episode then begins. Aaron, I guess, isn't taking accountability. That's new. For shit talking Jessel. There are things that Pavitt said about Sai and stuff that Sai said about Pavitt. The trigger of calling someone bipolar as a pejorative obviously came up. Sai talking about her experiences, referencing how triggering that could be for her, especially after what she experienced through childhood and beyond, her relationship with her mother. The key kind of component here, looking back, I think, was Brynn loudly saying that Pavitt needs to apologize And both Jessel and Cy, I felt like, validated each other's feelings. Then we get into the cast clearly saying repeatedly that Uba cannot call Brynn a whore and needs to take a note because Brynn is sensitive to being told she didn't earn her success as a business person and role on the show. Uba, certainly this season, has a consistent pattern of not listening to anyone, not listening to criticism. That's not inaccurate to criticize her for that. I think her behavior at points, especially in how she was dismissing the trip and vacation to Raquel, which was really hurtful, is going to be something that I would assume comes up at the reunion. That's a little bit of a TBD, but my guess is it would. This was a bad season for Uba. If there's a question of how the show is going to recover after this and who is going to potentially make and remain on the cast, there's been an understandable argument made on episodes of AG that, like, Uba shouldn't continue. And I get that. I've agreed with it. I don't think the show is good for her. I think her responses to things, I think she's just, like, reached a point of potentially no return. I also think there is literally no way forward for Brynn. Those are not the same situations. And also, I think if Brynn leaves, it won't be by choice. I think if Uba leaves, it might be. And I guess we'll see what happens. So Jessel says that Uba should be a part of the conversation about Uba, that the group is talking about her and that Uba should be aware of that. Uba is upset about Brynn quoting things that she didn't say. The fact that Brynn is repeatedly saying that Uba said that Brynn needs to have a dick in her mouth or whatever, dicks in mouth situation, versus maybe she slept with someone to get a job. That is different. It is different to be especially specifically insulting with the, like, she needs to have a dick in her mouth or whatever, versus maybe she slept with someone. They're both slut shaming. They're both not good. But to me, it's kind of like BFA versus minor in theater. That she needs to have a dick in her mouth is very, very specific and especially harsh. It doesn't mean maybe she slept with someone to get a job is good or okay, but it is different. Brynn focuses a lot of her energy on semantics and language, which is a problem when she's reinforcing inaccurate histories to the cast who do the same with Uba, and then gets upset when Uba tries to clarify. Uba cannot apologize for the dick in the mouth insult. She can apologize for slut shaming, which dick in the mouth quite literally is, but she is refusing to apologize for a specific sentence that she did not introduce. Brynn did. It's a question of, quote unquote, maybe you slept with someone versus maybe a dick in the mouth. Uba is focusing a lot of her response on, like, well, I didn't say she definitely slept with someone. I said maybe. But I think after having conversations with other members of the cast, and certainly I'm sure conversations with herself, she understands that even without the maybe, it's this to imply that someone, especially Brynn, slept with someone to get the job is not okay. Brynn hears Uba clarify that she didn't say a dick in the mouth and continues to reinforce to the cast and obviously cameras that she did. Brynn also references that Uba is a second-rate model for Dress Barn, which is this whole kind of like classist thing that I don't entirely understand, that I would think Brynn understands from her background in corporate comms. Like, for everything that I've shit-talked about Rebecca Minkoff, and there is so much material to use, if she has built up a $100 million business, that is fucking incredible. Brynn reinforces the Nordstrom Rack of it all to say that her brand, her items, I guess her style, isn't at the level of Brynn's, like shopping at Bergdorf. But at the end of the day, there are any number of, for example, like discount chains that make an enormous amount of money, more money than maybe brands and companies that you think of as a little more elite or elitist, to be honest. Like reinforcing the Dress Barn of it all, an incredibly successful, popular company, and saying that she's just kind of a second-rate model, does not have an understanding of how much money she's potentially making, as well as how successful that brand is in its like specific area. So I kind of was not super into that. Brynn also says that Uba is delusional. She says they should compare net worth and pay stubs, something I actually would like for them to do. One of many problems with this season of New York is I don't remember anything but cursory glances at what these people do for a living, nor do they have a single friend. It was only entirely these people who may or may not like each other, and I would argue have terrible chemistry at several points with each other, just kind of gathering in little groups. But the whole thing with Housewives is you should have a life that we should draw from. I think the production of New York this season was terrible. You can see Eric Fuller, the executive producer, featured in those security cameras as we get later on in the episode. He is the producer behind some pretty terrible prior seasons of Housewives. I don't know how much blame for this he gets as the EP. My guess is it's probably a communal effort of many people, but I don't think the instincts here for this season were right. I don't know that they got tons and tons of material of these women at work or with friends. And then also this group stuff, it felt like just the strategy here for what to capture, I think, was flawed. I don't know that that's like a huge shocking statement, but one that I do think should be made. So circling back to Brynn. So Brynn's like, they should compare net worth and pay stubs. Again, payment for a job that Brynn has, I would like to see her do. I would like to see everyone in this cast do a job and then me watch them do that and have their own internal lives where we don't need to have the whole stakes of entertainment focused on what they do as a group, especially when the group energy absolutely does not fit. And I don't know how much of that is because the material potentially wasn't interesting versus it just wasn't filmed. But I think that was a huge strategic error. So the cast all uniformly defends Brynn after Uba walks off. They support, rally around her. She then says to everyone but Uba, why can't a Black woman make money? Why can't a Black woman be successful? Which, as I said in part one, was sort of an astounding statement, especially when you are doing your level best to minimize Uba's ability to make money and be successful as well. So Uba takes Erin into another room with Sai. Erin validates Uba about all things dick, but says that the slut shaming is too much. Uba references that Brynn is just trying to get a reaction out of her. Sai and Erin caution her to just like kind of take a moment, collect herself. Rebecca, Becky Minkoff, says everyone should eat and that people have been binge drinking and people need to kind of like take a second, maybe calm down a little bit, have some nutrition, sop up, God forbid, whatever people have been drinking to get to this moment. It's the truest thing she said all season. It's like the most important thing that she's said. And people laugh her off and then sort of mock drinking their wine glasses. She is totally right. The conversation around this finale, at least in part one, I don't think included for a second me referencing drinking. It is an absolutely valid point. I don't know how much the pressure and exhaustion of filming this show, filming a show 24/7 while they're on vacation and filming a show 24/7 where people are binge drinking throughout the day, my guesses probably aren't sleeping. That absolutely can have an impact, and it just kind of raises the stakes for everyone. So now I'm rethinking getting an e-meter and like anything goes. Erin tells Uba that she can diffuse this. Like, Uba can make things better. We can just kind of figure this out. And Uba says she's going to, for the sake of everyone. Brynn continues talking to a group of people that does not include Uba and says that Uba's comments to her are derogatory, slut-shaming, and her kids will see this one day, that Uba is, in essence, harming her relationship with children that Brynn does not currently have. It's sort of an odd thing to say when you consider that Uba also doesn't but wants to have kids. So the conversation around what she is saying is going to affect my future family, when a pretty big part of the season, as it was in Brynn's storyline, was Uba's interest in having children, and also Uba's hopeful future children will also see the show one day. So why is Brynn not responsible for her behaviors, but Uba always is? And then we get into the beginning of what kind of changes for everyone, including the audience. Brynn says she's sort of listing the reasons that Uba has disregarded her and their friendship. And so she says this thing that's really obviously upsetting to the rest of the cast, which is, I'm in a support group for sexual assault, and Uba knows this. She knows this. Someone, I believe, says she does. And she says, yeah, before BravoCon, I called Uba and I was like, you know, I was fucking raped and I'm still dealing with this shit. Uba knows this shit. So no, I don't want random fucking 6-foot petulant toddlers being like, she sucks dick for work. Which then leads into a Brynn confessional saying, I was kind of telling my friends I didn't want it to be part, to be like that of, you know, to prove a point. Here's the reason why the Jeff Lewis thing, it upsets me. Here's the reason why, like, it's not just an insult. It's because of the fact of, like, I'm still dealing with something. So I don't want any fucking low blows that aren't true, but let alone something that, like, is still happening, that I, like, wake up in the middle of the night, I can't breathe over it. She goes back to in real time. It's not okay after all I've fucking been through. And Jessel, Raquel, and Jenna are the only three in the room with Brynn. All tell her this is not okay. Like, all immediately go into shock, horror, and want to support her about what she is saying, that Uba knew that she had been raped and is saying this stuff intentionally to get a rise out of her. And this stuff, I mean, that she's slut shaming her. Raquel, it then leads into a confessional with Raquel, who says, my heart is broken for her, meaning Brynn. It's too common a story, unfortunately. Confessional with Jenna. That kind of violation is just, it's the worst thing that can happen to a woman. And I cannot imagine that Uba would make a comment like that, knowing this information. I would have thought that that was something that's sacred, that you just don't cross the line. Erin at this point comes in. Jenna and Raquel are upset. Raquel says in audio, over audio, that she can't even look at Uba. And then the screen goes to info about Rain. So there is this huge moment. I know I'm not like giving the vocal inflections from the cast. That's a two-parter because I would do it poorly. And also having transcribed so much from the episode, I would be probably inaccurate. But just imagine a lot of upset slash hysterics where things don't necessarily make sense. But the language here, especially when it comes to saying that Uba was aware of this, is incredibly important, especially for what happens next. Just on its face, it's important at this point, but also obviously knowing what we know now about where the episode goes. Uba, at this point, after the screen, I think there's probably a commercial break, Uba goes over to Brynn to try to talk to her. She, at this point, has no idea what Brynn told the rest of the cast. The cast is crying. Uba takes Brynn aside and apologizes for slut-shaming Brynn. Brynn asks her specifically what she's sorry for and says that she used the term sucking dick. So at this point, there could have been a couple things that happened, including Brynn saying to Uba the thing that she said to the rest of the cast, which is this person is specifically trying to slut shame me because she knows that I was sexually assaulted. Brynn does not say that to Uba. She also focuses once again on the language, using language that Uba did not create. So Brynn says that Uba used the phrase sucking dick. Uba says that she didn't. Brynn says Uba didn't apologize properly. Uba again is trying to apologize, but won't say she used the phrase if she didn't. Brynn refuses to accept it and says that Uba's apology is performative. Brynn is wrong. Brynn reinforces that Uba had said previously that she was sucking dick in front of everyone. The cast say that they, but Aaron and Sai do not know at this point what Brynn also accused Uba of knowing. Uba also doesn't know. The cast then says that they're going to go to bed. Then it shows a time of like about 11 p.m.-ish. Production knocks on Uba's door for her microphone and cameras go down. Then this whole Dateline, weird true crime energy comes in. Forensic accounting takes over, security cameras, weird fucking music. And then we know something is up, but we don't know what. But it's obviously like energy is becoming more amplified. Jessel says she went into Uba's room to tell her what Brynn said, that she knew that she had been assaulted. And then Uba starts to scream, blood curdling screams. Uba goes, "I almost went mental," and is in a ball in the corner of a room shaking. Uba has a confessional. She says, "I want to know." She's obviously viscerally upset and says, "I want to know when she told me that so I can remember." She leaves the room after she just hears this from Jessel. Her energy is at like 1,000. She walks over to Brynn and says, "You said on camera you were raped and I knew about it. When?" And then she's like, at this point, screaming, "This bitch." Production is there watching, including Mr. Fuller. They do nothing. She says, "Are you kidding me?" Uba is shocked. The door slams. Raquel says that I think it's Uba that comes into their room and tells Jenna, like, "If you believe." Jenna tries to calm her down. Raquel says that Uba at this point says, "May Allah strike me down and kill my firstborn if I did this. No one would ever say something like that if they weren't telling the truth." The cast at this point catches up. Aaron and Jenna and Raquel are flabbergasted. Brynn walks over and tells Aaron, and the executive producer continues to watch silently. Bryn says, what are you talking about? She didn't know. She's saying she didn't know. I called Uba and said I got fucking raped 3 years ago. Yeah. And Uba said, I will get in the car right now and I will come and get you. You want to go? I don't lie. I don't lie. You know that I was raped. You know that I was raped. And that goes to a confessional where she shares, last year before BravoCon, there was a suicide attempt with a loved one and I was raging upset. And Uba and I were close at the time. She was one of the first people I called on. In my rant to her, I think rant here is incredibly important. In my rant to her, and I'm like screaming and crying, and I'm like, why does this keep happening to me? My childhood, everything. And I was like, you know, those fucking things. And then she says things that I tried to hear so carefully and couldn't. It was kind of garbled. Something, something supposed to do. I was like, nobody knows. This is the story of my life, just bad shit happening. I was hysterical, so I don't know if she remembered, but in my mind, she knew. The important thing here is how vehemently Bryn says to the rest of the cast, she absolutely knew. I told her. I don't lie. She said that repeatedly. Then in her confessional, she's using language like rant, and she's speaking in a way where I am having trouble quite literally transcribing her words, where we will never know what happened. But if she was communicating to Uba the way that she is communicating in this confessional, it is, she obviously is at an extreme amount of upset. It is very hard to understand her. Like, it's hard to understand the words. Back to the scene at hand. Raquel is, I think, losing it a little bit. A producer comes over to try to mediate to Jenna. Bryn says, I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar. Raquel sort of says to the group, I thought we were going to bed. Uba takes that as a challenge, understandably so, I think, in my opinion. Raquel and other members of the cast, I think, are trying to de-escalate, but Uba wasn't aware of this incredibly big, impactful, upsetting accusation. And I think she needed to be told. I don't remember where in here Erin criticizes Jessel for telling Uba, but she does. And it's one of a couple moments in the episode where Erin is completely fucking wrong. It is incredibly important that Jessel, who behaved in a manner that was incredibly consistent throughout the episode, told Uba what was happening, because it happened on camera. Everybody was aware of how damaging this could be. I think the cast wanted it to go away, or maybe they knew that tempers and like the stakes here were hotter than hot and they wanted things to de-escalate, but that would have been unfair to, it was a lose-lose situation. It would have been unfair to Uba for everyone to go to sleep and then pick this up and continue it tomorrow. It was an enormous accusation. And also the cast discusses the fact that they treated Uba differently from the second that Bryn made that accusation, and the number of times she repeated it and doubled down, where one of them said, as I said earlier, I couldn't even look her in the face. I think that was Raquel at that moment. Like, the cast couldn't look Uba in the face. It was unfair, I think, to not tell Uba, and I'm thankful that Jessel did, even though obviously the situation was just honestly truly terrible. So Raquel says, essentially, I thought we were going to bed. Uba immediately responds with like, are you insane? I'm grateful Jessel told me this. This bitch is lying, you son of a fucking bitch. Uba is directly in Bryn's face, calling her a psychotic bitch. There is a unnamed producer in the middle. She says, you're going to hell. Bryn goes into the room, I think, with Eric Fuller, who at this point, I assume, must have lost his voice. There is not a single moment shown. There's this one other producer, a woman, I don't know her name, shout out you, who you can see trying to communicate at points, and then another female producer who walks with a member of the cast minutes later. But knowing who Eric Fuller is, it is fascinating to me that he just kind of steps back and watches all of this happen. I don't know what he says when he goes into the room with Bryn, but it doesn't feel like there's a lot of mediation at this point that absolutely should have occurred. I also just want to say for the record, I do think his instincts here with how, you know, New York has gone this season is, spoiler alert, not terribly good. You know, it takes a community larger than Eric to create a season as bad as this one has been, but he is not undeserving of critique. So Bryn goes into the room with Eric, the executive producer. Uba continues to say to Raquel, you know, and you said that Jenna should not have told me this, that I should sleep with this information. Are you insane? Jenna is crying. Jessel in a confessional says, I've never seen Uba this way. Uba then is sobbing in a confessional and says, only three people know the truth. God, me, and her. I wish I knew what I did for her to do something like this. It's one of those things where the level of upset that Uba has, that members of the cast have from the second the accusation is made, and then the flip that happens when Uba is told and they can see in her eyes that she is, to me, genuinely, truly triggered, I think escalates an already terrible situation to another level, because I think the cast is starting to understand, like, something here is off. So there's a screen that says that producers separate Uba and Bryn, taking Uba to a hotel for the night. Jessel accompanies her. Jessel says this is an impossible situation. Bryn shared a trauma, but now Uba is experiencing her own trauma, which is something that is absolutely key to communicate in this episode that's getting lost here, where people feel like maybe because Uba hasn't behaved terribly well in earlier episodes and maybe has been disrespectful in how she's kind of described the trip to Raquel or otherwise, that somehow that alleviates the harm of what just happened. And I don't think that that's fair. I think Uba is absolutely experiencing a trauma, is being triggered in this moment, and her pain is, God forbid I use the phrase, worthy of being respected, that, like, she's having a fucking moment. Her using the words that she's using, fucking bitch, whatever else, she has just been told by a member of the cast that she has strategized to exploit a person's sexual assault that she's saying she had no idea they had experienced as a way to seek revenge. And she knows it's all happening on camera. Like, Uba is two steps ahead, thinking about the impact of what this will do to herself, to her life, maybe to her relationship with the rest of the cast. And then to find out that people believed that she was capable of this, I think, is another level of betrayal. Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York. And they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so then a producer says, what happens next? And then this gets into some of this sort of security footage backed up with confessionals featuring other members of the cast. So Aaron says, we go into a whole other event. So I think this is about an hour after this initial thing happened. We end up in Jenna's room. In walks Bryn. Sai says the only people who are missing out of this room are Jessel and Uba now, which we know is because they were at a hotel. Aaron says she, meaning Bryn, starts talking to us about the story again. Jenna says the whole thing just kind of breaks my heart. It was like a little kid, like looking for someone to comfort. Sai says, I said, Bryn, did Uba know? Aaron. And that's when Bryn says, come to think of it, maybe she didn't clock it. Everything I thought about Bryn changes for me in that moment immediately. Sigh. Not clocking something like that versus accusing her of knowing are two different things. Raquel, to be completely clear, I am not doubting her, meaning Bryn's experience, but it's clear to me it's not lining up. I checked out within a couple of minutes. Producer in this confessional says, and why did you check out? Raquel pauses and says, because I realized she was lying. Aaron, I will bet my life on the fact that Uba did not know. I will tell you that that is not in her character. She's a lot of things, but this she did not know about. Sigh. We're at a point where she just, I don't know what to do. So I say, why don't we all go to bed? I think is what it said. She leaves out of the room. I get up and I go off like, what the fuck? So we start whispering and talking. She, meaning Bryn, comes back in the room. Hi guys. It's like she's trying to check the temperature now. I think Bryn realized that she overplayed her hand here. It wasn't pulling one or two people aside. For the first time, she played her hand in front of all of us. Aaron, that's when everything changed in this group of girls. This is taking things to another place, to another fucking dimension. Cut to the next morning, Bryn is on the couch joking with producers and says, honestly, I'm at a place where I'm like, let's just move on. A screen goes up. Before sending cameras in, producers sit with Bryn to make sure she's okay. And the cast starts to come in for breakfast. Bryn says she asked to leave the trip after the scene with the women where she admitted that perhaps Uba didn't know. She now tells the women that, noting she now feels like she doesn't have to and feels better. Sigh, confessional. Brynn knows she fucked up. She can never take accountability. Brynn says they should go horseback riding and figure stuff out later, back to a sigh confessional, where she's like, essentially, what the fuck are you talking about? Brynn says to, I think, producers, I can totally do a 180, man. Like, I'm actually fucking psycho in that regard, but I think I just need to leave. A screen. Production decides to leave to end the trip early. While waiting for Jessel and Uba's return, as you remember, they were at a hotel, the main cameras start filming. Brynn says goodbye to Jenna, Sai, and Raquel. A Jenna confessional. She, meaning Brynn, wants everything to be normal. That's her coping. Erin says Jessel called her multiple times, that Erin doesn't feel well. Everyone obviously is in a state of shock. Jenna, I think we can all agree, Uba didn't know. The cast then references moments during the season when Brynn manipulated the group or lied. Erin says, I'm not doubting what has happened to Brynn, meaning her sexual assault. I would never not believe women, ever, ever. That being said, Brynn has a long history of lying. And then it goes into a mega reel of Brynn repeatedly lying and manipulating the cast. It's not helpful for Brynn that the episode started with a reel and also includes this new one. Sai says she changes a situation to work in her favor, and she says it in a way that seems like it's so believable that people will take her side. Jenna, I 100% believe Uba didn't know. I don't know if Brynn told her and she didn't clock it or that she was never told. Jenna says she feels taken advantage of. Sai says, I think she lied so much as a child to cover up that it continues to bleed into adulthood. Brynn at this point texts Erin to ask if they are staying on the trip without her, which Raquel says is narcissism 101. It's all she, meaning Brynn, is concerned about, the madness she unleashed. It's not about if Uba is okay or not. At this point, Uba and Jessel return. Erin and Sai both say they feel bad for Brynn. The cast greets Uba and gets emotional. Raquel apologizes to Jessel. Uba cries as the cast apologizes for ever assuming it was true. Uba says, I'm worried about going back to last night. The cast all tell her that they believe her. Erin tells her, Erin tells her about the moment that happened after Uba and Jessel left for the hotel, which is Brynn admitting that perhaps Uba didn't clock it at the point in which she says she told Uba she had been sexually assaulted. Uba, you can watch it. The moment of realization hit her. She is incredibly upset. Understandably so. She says the outside people, they're going to say what they want to say, that they know things or don't know things, as you know. The fact that these people, you and her, the three of you, were out there believing that I knew this, and she's trying to leverage of how I said she slept with someone. She's trying to put you against me. Now we know. The cast reaffirms her, says they agree. Uba in a confessional says, I'm just so grateful that they have seen it on their own eyes and that they are strong enough to like have integrity, you know? They could just take Brynn's because they like Brynn more. I don't know, you know? Uba, back to the scene, says, well, the most important thing is she okay? The rest of the cast says, she seems okay. Jenna, I think it's back to the scene. Jenna says, I think there's something bigger. I mean, she was also shaking and crying, meaning Brynn. And I think she also realized like it's all fucked up. You know what I mean? I think she realized how far it had gone and it felt too far. Sai says she needs treatment. People agree. Says, I think she needs to speak to someone. Jenna confessional. It all lies in whether Brynn really thought that Uba knew. That's what it comes down to. And so, like, it's one person's word against someone else's. It's probably one of the most delicate and complicated situations I've been in. Jessel confessional. Look, is Brynn like an awful human being? No. Like, I don't see her that way. I never have. I never will. People make mistakes, but so much has happened. I don't know if it will ever be like the same. Then we go to the cast photo shoot 5 days after this trip, which feels fucking nuts. Could they not have delayed that for just a minute, considering what happened? I know that, you know, production costs and everything else, it's entirely possible they couldn't, but that's just on its face terrible fucking timing. So Raquel says she flew back from Puerto Rico with Uba, who was nervous about what her boyfriend would think about all this, if she could explain this to him without him thinking she was crazy. And we get into more confessionals. Raquel says, what I learned from this, I learned I can still be manipulated. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe what that means is I still want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And I still have a lot of empathy. Erin, in a confessional, I don't think Brynn is a bad person. Good people do bad things too. And I think she comes from a place of pain. Sigh. I really don't see Brynn as the same person that I knew, and it's sad. Brynn's so fun and bubbly, but like things have changed. I don't trust Brynn. I will never trust Brynn again. At this point, you have like before cast members are doing these confessionals, are kind of like next to each other getting glammed. Because again, this is for the cast photo shoot for all the press materials. There is a weird insert where Jessel is saying something, I think, to Erin. And then it cuts away for a second, or it feels like it doesn't focus on Jessel's literal face delivering words. The audio is a little different. So I just felt like it was a pickup. It was a weird moment. She's talking. We can watch her talk. And then all of a sudden the audio is, does she remember like what happened? Meaning Brynn. Then it gets into a Jessel confessional where she says, I don't think Brynn understands or is aware of the gravity of all of this. I think I just haven't had an opportunity to be in front of Brynn and to kind of explain like the context of everything. Jenna, I have tenderness toward Brynn. I have tenderness toward Uba. Like I care about both of them. And I do hope that people give Brynn some grace. I can't say that she did it maliciously. I do not know. And I hope that she didn't. Brynn says she asked production to ensure that Brynn didn't communicate with her. Uba says, I showed up to the shoot today because you work really hard for this show and I don't want to let down the girls. I only asked for them to make sure that we, meaning Uba and Brynn, don't speak because I'm worried that she might come to apologize with like, oh, I'm sorry. I made a comment like that about your career or your dress barn thing. And then just kind of overlook everything else. And I would not be held responsible for what would happen after that. Brynn arrives. Producers say she doesn't want to be mic'd. There's a confessional. Brynn is crying, says it's a weird vibe, but I'm going to suck it up. Uba says, I can't even hate Brynn. Like if I hold this grudge for her, I will never trust. This is the point. There were a couple points where it felt like my heart was kind of like caught in my throat. And this was one of those moments where I felt gutted for Uba. She goes on to say she would cut my wings. So I have to forgive her for me to move on, for me to live my life. The cast then poses with those damn fucking apples. And Brynn has some thoughts. She says, Uba doesn't seem bothered. Uba doesn't seem upset. And everyone is just like, oh, my hair and makeup. It must be so nice. Like I'm over here. I want to like die inside. Nobody gives a fuck. That's one thing I learned. These girls really don't give a fuck. Everybody say cheese. Cuts to Erin confessional. I want Brynn to be okay. Just because I don't agree with what she did doesn't mean I don't care about her. I think she just made a mistake. I think that there is a path for all of us if Brynn can really own this. Two things that I think are incredibly important to note. One is that the cast did try to check in with Brynn. We see at least Erin's text to her. Brynn gave the text or something along the lines of like, just checking in, seeing how you're doing, yada, yada. Brynn's response, you know, like, are you okay? Brynn's response is a one word no. I don't know if the conversation continued from there, but the cast did attempt to check in with Brynn. There doesn't seem to be a single moment where Brynn acknowledges Uba's upset, that Brynn acknowledges that she very passionately, fastidiously said without question that Uba absolutely knew. She's saying pretty clearly that Uba had malicious intent about weaponizing Brynn's sexual assault against her. Brynn does never, to my knowledge, in this episode, acknowledge for a single moment Uba's upset. Uba does that for Brynn multiple times. Brynn, I don't think once does that for Uba. I don't think Brynn thinks that she did anything wrong that night. I don't think Brynn thinks she's responsible for Uba's upset, and Brynn seemingly isn't aware or refuses to acknowledge that Uba was wronged. Because remember, everyone in the cast, no one is questioning Brynn's sexual assault. Brynn's story about whether or not Uba was told has changed multiple times. The cast very clearly says that because Brynn was so passionate, the cast initially says that they believe that Uba did this thing, which is something that obviously comes around the next morning when Uba is understandably upset that they could believe that she was capable of something. But I think it's because they're in that moment, and it's not excusing that, but in that moment, there wouldn't seem to be a possibility that Brynn was not being accurate or was potentially lying. We don't know if Brynn is aware that Uba didn't clock it, but there is such a substantial difference in how Brynn is telling this story. And I also think it's incredibly important to recognize that at Watch What Happens, Jenna and Raquel, obviously Jessel, I think added a lot of insight over the course of the episode. And it's important to note that per Jenna, no one in the cast has communicated with Brynn since filming went down. They're all expressing their concern for her, her care about her. But I think it is incredibly important, especially when, you know, there might be some sort of feud or whatever, not feuding, but like arguing online from the Bravo community of who is ultimately to blame, whether we should, whether Uba has the right to be upset. I think that there are people having different conversations about this. I think it's really important to note that everyone in the cast, including Brynn at one point until she backs away from that, agrees that Uba was not aware that Brynn had been sexually assaulted. There's a question of whether or not she was ever told. We don't know. We probably never will. And that the cast rallied around Uba. So then the day after the finale airs, Rolling Stone drops an interview with Brynn. You can read it in full. Just do a little Google of Rolling Stone Google. I've read it twice. It is frustrating, and I didn't feel great either time I read it. Before getting into that, though, someone, I guess on Reddit, posted a clip. I doubt that it will be a part of the reunion. I think that's probably, I don't know. It could be. I really don't know. But it's a clip from earlier in this season. I believe they say it's episode 10 of Brynn having a conversation with her brother. I think it's in like Central Park or a park, some sort of park, about her sexual assault, where Brynn clearly says about and to her brother, "You are the only person that I told." I don't know how many people have seen that clip. I have now seen that clip. I don't know if it's going to come up on the reunion. It is, I would argue, a very important thing to reference. It's a part of this season itself. The fact that Brynn, it's either because he is the only person that Brynn told, or she forgot that she told Uba. But if Brynn forgot she told Uba, perhaps because if it happened, it came as a result of cascading, in her words, rant. It's confusing as to how clearly Brynn can remember that specific moment of the conversation and how quickly she walks away from it when directly questioned by the rest of the cast. It's not great. So then we get into the Rolling Stone of it all, and I just wanted to highlight a couple moments that I think are important to share. So this is the interviewer who says, and this is, again, an interview with Brynn that dropped the day after the finale aired. Interviewer says, in the finale, some of the women say they felt taken advantage of by you and accused you of intentionally lying. What's your response to that? Brynn says, that was shocking. You're telling me that in the 3 minutes from when I'm called horrible names by Uba and I'm obviously upset that I somehow devised a plan? It's disgusting that I'm talking about two things that I would hope that no woman or person would have to experience, suicide and sexual assault, and everyone's like, Brynn, we feel taken advantage of. Maybe don't use those words to describe the situation. I think it's important for me to cut in here and say those words were not describing what Brynn went through, specific to her sexual assault. That was clearly said by cast members to her face repeatedly. But to connect the lines between cast members upset when Brynn herself says that Uba maybe wasn't aware that Brynn was sexually assaulted, for them to express upset about that, Brynn is saying not only is that not deserved, but that it's inappropriate for them to say it, that she is directly connecting it with suicide and sexual assault. The other thing, and I'm going to be super light in talking about this, because we don't know, is that when you think of the statistics of how many people, how many women have survived sexual assault, the numbers are not good. So we do not know what other women in the cast have experienced, how triggering a lot of this might have been. It doesn't feel like Brynn has room to understand that other women may have endured sexual assault and trauma from this, may have been triggered by this. They might not have shared it, but it does feel like Brynn's understanding of this is specific and whole only to her experience and not to anybody else's. And that can be their reactions when finding out that her clear version of events in what she told Uba is less clear. And it can happen as a result of what they themselves have experienced. Because while the focus obviously was on whether or not Uba meant to trigger a reaction from Brynn, at this point, we are told it's specifically because of an awareness, later seemingly disproven, that Uba was aware of Brynn having survived a sexual assault, that we don't know how these other women may have been triggered out of all of this, because there are so many layers to it. There's no space for anyone else to have an experience, it feels like, except for Brynn. She continues, maybe don't use those words to describe the situation. I just feel like I wasn't shown much respect. These are difficult, serious things we're talking about. That's how it felt for me the whole season, like I was always being attacked. I would go into filming a lot of the time and I would feel dread and despair. I was just like, every single thing is going to turn into something. It was weird energy from the very first scene. I have text messages from everyone saying, oh my God, hi, I love you, can't wait to see you. And then it was a 180. I was like, oh, okay, it's Assassin's Creed now, and everyone's geared up. Other Bravo stars warned me at BravoCon. They were like, you had a great first season. And I was like, yeah, that was easy. And they said, everyone's going to come for you. So for Brynn, she feels like this was the result of people, maybe jealousy of how she was popular with the audience, but she feels like that the cast is not being honest, I guess, which is something. The journalist says, why do you feel that 180 happened? She says, I truly don't know. I look back, I've scanned every text, I've checked every conversation, and I have no idea. Then I became avoidant and I just shut down. It is fascinating that she says the cast has just summarily, uniformly come for her, maybe as a result of her popularity, without acknowledging the huge reels that were shown at the beginning of the episode, this is what happened this season, and later on in the episode, of the many, many times where there are clips when it appears that Brynn is trying to manipulate or lie to members of the cast. It's important to acknowledge, as members of the cast said, that some of Brynn's behavior can be directly attributed to trauma she experienced, a survival tactic that has, I think Sai said this, like bled into her adulthood. There is a lot of trauma here that has not been treated, that Brynn is still processing. I want to completely acknowledge it and respect it, and also say that she is still accountable for her behavior. I don't feel the need for it to be one or the other. And her ability to see some things very clearly only when they're focused on her being the victim of members of her cast and not all of these other moments that were also incredibly important to the finale is confusing. Typically, how this is done is, you know, the interview drops the day after, but it wasn't recorded the night that the finale was filmed. My guess is that the journalist was given and probably sworn to secrecy, I'm sure, a copy of the finale so that they were able to watch the finale and then prep for this interview. The thing that I don't know, even though it feels like she did, but I don't know this, or I'm honestly forgetting, is Brynn obviously experienced the trip. I don't know if she watched the finale. It's difficult for me to imagine Brynn watching the finale and all of the moments where there are direct contradictions in her behavior with members of the cast, where their opinions are backed up by the literal edit, and attempt to say what she's saying here, except also Brynn is not well. She should not be on reality TV. She might not agree with that or understand it, but that doesn't mean it's not true. What happened in this finale is disturbing, horrifying, upsetting, unnerving, distressing, triggering, and everything else. I think Brynn needs help. She talks about being in therapy. I don't know how gutturally aware she is of her behavior. I don't know that she understands what happened and how it deeply, deeply upset. And I'm going to use the phrase, even though I'm just getting traumatized, Uba and other members of the cast, which isn't about them not standing with her and trying to support her when hearing that she survived a sexual assault. But her behavior and what she did, while we don't know if it was malicious, and several members of the cast say they don't believe that it was, it still had an impact. And it's unfortunate that Brynn cannot see outside of herself for just a moment as to the trip and her relationships with the cast as a whole. She might not have capacity for it. That doesn't mean it's okay. And I think there is genuinely something to be said for what Jenna, I'm going to continue with the interview, but what Jenna said about like hoping that Brynn receives grace. I completely understand that. I think this is an unwell person. I really do. She has experienced a lot of true upsetting trauma from like being left in her diaper for over a week as a baby through now. And also, that does not clear her of lying to members of the cast and of continued questions over what she said about Uba, the fact that she wanted to and did reinforce it clearly while also saying, I am not a liar, I am not a lie. And the turn when she was questioned about it an hour later by members of the cast, like, she is should not be on reality TV. I hope that she receives help. Also, saying that you are in therapy does not absolve you of behaviors or any actions that you still need to be accountable for. The hope with therapy is that you like use the tools learned in therapy to help you in your life. And certainly, I can only speak to my experience. I am in therapy with a trauma, like a psychiatrist who specializes in trauma. And it has helped a lot. It's also incredibly difficult work. And it's one of those things, there have been moments where I like dance around something because I can't talk about it, I can't open up. And we'll say something and maybe I won't be able to communicate again about that specific incident for a calendar year, even though I have weekly therapy. Some of this stuff when it comes to trauma is incredibly difficult. I am not saying in any way that I've had the same experiences in life that Brynn has. I feel enormous compassion for what she has experienced. I also am incredibly distressed as to her behavior in the finale, her record of lying and manipulating cast members, and a moment that I think crossed the line so horrifically that there is no way to come back from it for the rest of the cast. I don't think filming reality TV is a good or safe idea for Brynn. I don't think Brynn being in this show is a good idea for the rest of her cast. I just don't. And I don't think Bravo is equipped to deal with the challenges that Brynn clearly currently faces. And I say that with an enormous amount of compassion and an understanding that I will never know what happened in that conversation with Uba. I will never know, unless we're told differently, what Brynn believes happened, which we do get into in this Rolling Stone article, but like more clearly of what whatever we're going to see during the reunion. But it was a very distressing episode and unnerving, really like got into my bones kind of thing, upsetting, deeply upsetting finale. Brynn does not feel that she has a role in that in any way. And on top of that, feels that the members of the cast have not been as good to her as she deserves. Okay, continuing on, Rolling Stone. You left Puerto Rico earlier than the rest of the cast after the incident with Uba. How did you feel watching the scene in the finale? Oh, she did watch it. Just kidding. I forgot. How did you feel watching the scene in the finale with the rest of the women discussing how they thought you manipulated them? Brynn. That night before, I was chased down the hallway and then producers shut the door and told me to wait a while. Then Uba and Jessel went to a hotel. This is the thing that gave me pause. They brought in a security guard to stay at the house with us, and that was at 2 a.m. I texted a producer, and I was like, I want to leave. Put me on the next flight. I'm out. This feels like the Jerry Springer show. This has gone too far. I need to pause for one moment and reference two things. The use of the Jerry Springer show for conversation as loaded as what was discussed that last night on vacation is a surprising choice, as was referencing bringing in a security guard. It felt like, even though she said that Uba and Jessel went to a hotel, the reason she is introduced, this is just my opinion, could be 100% wrong, the reason they she is introducing bringing a security guard is because she or someone may have potentially felt like physically unsafe. Why would she say that? Why would she introduce a security guard? Who is she saying, whose safety is being compromised, and who would the person potentially engaging in unsafe behaviors be? I didn't love it. I didn't love it in light of how Brynn has tried to provoke Uba previously. I didn't like it with a reinforcement of incredibly inappropriate triggering stereotypes. That just clocked me for a second, and I just kind of felt like this is not going in a direction that feels great. And the other thing I would say is, if they brought in a security guard that they very well may have, it was for everyone's safety, including Brynn's. And there is no suggestion at any point of whether or not a member of the cast felt unsafe. I'm not questioning why production brought in a security guard. I think that was the right move. But the way that this is being introduced specifically in this conversation, connecting it with the Jerry Springer show, does not make me feel great. Continuing on. This is my life, and these are serious, traumatic subjects that are turning into she said fodder. I don't understand why I'm not being met with grace. Let's just have a conversation, not fucking screaming and just like, fuck you, bitch, fuck you. I need to pause again. The fact that, and I can't believe I forgot this and I read it twice, but this is just the circumstance that my brain currently is in. The fact that Brynn is saying she's not being met with grace when the cast repeatedly, to her face, behind her back, in confessionals with each other, are expressing grace that they have for her. I think Brynn feels that grace has to come with silence when it comes to accountability or how her actions affect others. That is not how grace works. Grace is a feeling of compassion and empathy for someone. It does not remove resulting behaviors and a reaction for them. And also, going back to the whole not fucking screaming, fuck you, bitch, fuck you, that came when Uba was told by a cast member that there had been a on-camera conversation that could have arguably ruined her. She is a public figure at this point. The fact that it was on camera and she now understands that members of the cast were seemingly agreeing with Brynn on camera, trying to support her, saying they believe her. To expect, once again, as a member of the Tone Police, that Uba would not be upset or that her saying, fuck you, bitch, fuck you, was too much. I cannot speak to how I would have reacted if I had been Uba. And this is, for the 30th time, not absolving Uba's behavior this season, but to say I would not have responded well. I am someone who uses swear words now and then. I save, you know, see you next Tuesday for special occasions. It is my curse word of choice. It's a genuinely horrible word. Et cetera. I would have used some choice expressions. It is a fascinating thing that Uba's reaction is being criticized in the way that it is, that Brynn doesn't have capacity to understand or to respect why Uba would be that upset now. I'm not saying that night, but now, months later after the fact, when you can also watch it and hear other cast members deeply troubled by it. And I would once again refer us to what Jenna said and what Raquel said. Raquel is... We have only met Raquel this season. She seems like a genuinely decent, empathetic person. What she said, the ways that she now views Brynn, a level of, I'm not diagnosing her, nor would Raquel, but narcissistic tendencies is something not helped by this interview. Continuing on, Brynn continues, so I requested to leave. I feel so safe with everyone at the production company and at Bravo, and I felt safe with how they handled sharing my sexual assault story in Central Park with my brother. It was never my intention to share it with the girls, and then that transpired, but I felt so weird that night. I remember they were taking off my microphone, and I was like, how do I talk to these people now that they know this thing about me? I was so irritated when I saw what they were saying about me, because there's like, she's a psycho, she looks like she's fine, and she left. No, I was mortified. In that moment, I'm very much like, everything's fine and I can make a joke or distract from something. But I was like, just get me out of here. She also, in that moment, she's referencing the stuff on the couch when she's talking about, I don't know if I mentioned this in the TikTok of all this, but she does mention like we should. She jokes about going horseback riding and then says, you know, like, I feel better, we can go horseback riding. The assumption that people know what Brynn is feeling, especially when she is communicating in an absolute opposite manner, is not helpful. LOL. That's not the right way to describe this. She's only ever giving herself the benefit of the doubt and does not do that, not once, with the rest of the cast. I don't know if that's because she feels isolated at this point. I don't know who she's speaking to in this interview. The impression, the walkaway for me about her after this is honestly bewildered. Okay, continuing on. In that moment, I'm very much like, everything's fine and I can make a joke or distract from something. But I was like, just get me out of here. I don't feel comfortable anymore. And I feel like everyone's looking at me differently. It wasn't like, oh, I'm cool with everything. Everything's normal. And I'm just going to leave. I requested to leave. I requested to be put on the first flight out. Rolling Stone. What happened after Puerto Rico? Brynn. I came home and saw 2 days later, they're all dancing at a concert and stuff, and I'm in bed crying on Zoom with my therapist. Unfortunately, I've had way too many scenarios in my life where I didn't have the luxury of feeling my feelings, or I didn't have the luxury of being able to process something. It was like, suck it up and you move on. If I even dip my toe in the ocean of my despair, I will get sucked in. I think people need to be honest, deal with their emotions and their feelings, and get therapy, get help, and be in support groups, all of which I've done. But I just don't have the luxury of going there all the time. I process things later when I get to a safe place and remove myself from a situation. Directly after Puerto Rico, I wish that someone would have asked me, hey, let's calmly sit down and listen to what you have to say. Sidebar, like when Aaron reached out and wanted to hear how you were, Brynn, that would have felt really nice, I think, to have that. I didn't get that in Puerto Rico. Me. I think she did. Continuing on, I certainly didn't get it afterwards. Me, in a different situation, potentially a person could have a conversation about the cast themselves needing a little bit of space after this. And also, we saw them interact 5 days after Puerto Rico. People were embracing her. Obviously, there was a level of discomfort that everybody had, but it's a very uncomfortable situation when you have two members of the cast who have different opinions about whether or not, different memories about whether or not Ubo was told about this, but also the understanding that if there is even a question of whether or not Ubo clocked it, to say so emphatically over and over again, she absolutely did, and I know she's using this against me. The clarity that Brynn has about other people's intentions versus her own is concerning. Continuing on, that I felt, let's come and sit down, listen to me. That would have felt really nice, I think, to have that. I didn't get that in Puerto Rico. I certainly didn't get it afterwards. More so, it's been like I'm the bad guy. She then says later, when there's a question about, and again, I'm not doing the whole Rolling Stone piece. This would be a 19-hour episode, and that's not going to be happening. She then talks about her current relationships, which doesn't elicit a great response from one of her cast members on social. She says, I'm always cool with Jenna and Raquel. Erin feels like a sister. I was just texting with her and Abe the other day. I feel like I'm fine with them. I think Sai and I still have stuff to work on. I miss my friendship with Sai a lot. And then with Jessel, I didn't realize, but I should have realized, I said something that upset her, so I need to work on my friendship with Jessel. With Uba, I think what's done is done. Uba's a great person. She has a heart of gold. I think she loses her temper. But she has the most beautiful heart. And at the end of the day, I know I'm also a good person. So I feel like we will get back, but it takes time to repair. Erin posted on a content creator posted, I think some pieces from the Rolling Stone interview. Erin commented today with a response, today meaning Thursday, and said, To say we are sisters is quite the reach. We haven't spoken or seen each other in months, other than Bryn thanking Abe for clearing up the intention for the call. I really wanted Bryn to win so bad. I was excited to watch her shine like I am with all my girlfriends. Each woman on this show is special and smart, and I really was excited for us collectively, but Bryn always had all this childhood trauma that I was particularly excited to see her break free from. Yet here we are, an article doubling down instead of saying, hey, I messed up. It's upsetting to read for all of you viewers. Can you imagine how it feels for us? This show is supposed to be fun. Sidebar, let's circle back to what fun means for the current cast, Prank Central. Continuing, it's all I tried to do throughout, yet somehow things kept getting twisted and turned, and I will take ownership that I very much was naive and fell victim to much manipulation. I swore I wouldn't comment, but this article is so triggering to me, and I just couldn't stay silent. Then Erin pivots and says, to all of you trolls, the few I've seen, most of you have been supportive and amazing all season during an incredibly hard time for me, so thank you. Trying to put me in some sort of bucket because of the color of my skin, honestly, F you, I believe that stands for fuck you. I spoke out when she called Uba an angry black woman, and I was the only one who heard the essay story that night and immediately said, no way, that doesn't sound like Uba. She wouldn't forget that, which led to the she didn't clock it comment. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm fair, and I stand up for what's right when it counts, so respectfully, fuck off. So that was a response from a member of the cast. I don't know that Bryn has the ability to process what some members of the cast said about her during the finale. I think, for example, it's relatively clear that Raquel will be taking space. So I don't know what she means by I'm always cool with members of the cast. I mean, Jenna said at Watch What Happens that immediately following the finale that no one in the cast has like spoken, I guess probably more than, you know, a hey, what's up kind of situation, liking and commenting on posts, like sort of superficial things, that no one has really communicated with her since the finale. It was a shit show. This finale was so concerning and upsetting. And I also think if we can think about grace in another way, that people expressing a lot of anger and upset toward what happened and at Bryn's refusal to acknowledge Uba's feelings, Bryn's role in that, I feel like the response to that a little bit has been like, how dare you be upset at Bryn, reference other, you know, Uba's, you know, pretty not great season as a whole. But that the sort of response to that is like, how dare you criticize Bryn? There are any number of reasons why viewers are going to respond to this episode in ways that feel really intense and loaded. And it's because for different reasons, people are upset and also may have been triggered as a result of trauma. This episode was very triggering. People also didn't consent, weren't aware, because the network went out of their way to ensure people weren't, that it was an episode focused on trauma resulting from sexual assault and the possibility that a survivor of sexual assault would accuse a cast member of using that against her to score points on a reality television show. That's really intense, dark stuff. So I'm not surprised that the response from the majority women viewership, and that's not to isolate other viewers, but to say that people have really intense feelings about this episode, because it was a really intense episode. And if you don't have that feeling, that's okay. But an awareness that other people may be processing their own stuff, which might be connected to their opinion, or they're like just filled with upset about how it happened, how it was edited, that might be an indicator that something about this finale really was different for viewers watching. It doesn't take away from other moments when Bravo's fucked up, cast members have fucked up, crazy shit has happened. But this was a really loaded episode that the network did everything possible not to, quote unquote, spoil. So that came at a cost. And also the framework of the episode was wild. So anyway, that was a mini episode. It's now God only knows what o'clock. I really do not look forward to the New York reunion. I cannot imagine the pressure that members of the cast, including Bryn, including Uba, may be feeling about stuff that is really, really tough to unpack. The pressure that people are feeling of how their behavior is going to be judged, the stakes of all of this. I don't have a good feeling about how this is going to be handled. Just overall, I hope someone else is, I don't know. I hope that something, I don't know. I don't have high expectations. But at least, I guess, now we know the path that it most certainly will be headed down, for at least a part of the reunion. And I think I just personally will be feeling a little bit of whiplash about watching Bryn in the role of housewife, which is a role, just based on everything that happened at the finale, is probably not healthy for her or other members of the cast, who still, of course, do need to be held accountable for their behavior this season. But treating this episode like a fiery finale, and just that, is a huge, huge miss from production and the network. Totally agree to disagree. I've gotten a bunch of your satchels of gold, of your thoughts and feels, questions, and God only knows concerns about the New York finale. Keep them coming. I want to do a Patreon episode that features your thoughts on this, your thoughts, how you felt watching, how you felt the lack of a trigger warning was warranted, wasn't warranted. If you felt like this was an explosive finale like anything else, or confusion of how it was received, or confusion over what I've said over the course of, God only knows what I've said over the course of this 18-parter, two-part ep, DM me. No audio notes, no voice notes, please. But DM me. Please include your first name and town. You are more than welcome to have it be an anonymous satchel. Happy to do that. Just let me know. And that might be included in an upcoming Patreon episode. Hang in there. What a weird turn of events. What a strange experience for some people, and maybe not strange for others. I really don't know if anything that I said made sense. That's kind of the joy of a stream of consciousness episode, is that most often I don't know exactly what direction I'm either going in or will end up. But this is what AG is, has become, arguably may have always been. So there we are. More to come, to be continued. Hang in there. And I forget if I said my Instagram for those satchels, at Dame Galley. If you have a thesis, you can email andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. I'm happy to read it. Look forward to unpacking. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.